Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are Those Who Mourn.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on Jesus' sermon called the Beatitudes. It's also called His Sermon on the Mount because Jesus preached it on a mountain. Now, the first Beatitude we did last week, we're going to take a look today at the second Beatitude, which again teaches us about who belongs to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus teaches us here about the kingdom of God. And so, since it was preached on a mountain, let's ascend those slopes again, if you will, even in your minds and hearts right now. Leave the lowly valley behind. Climb up that steep slope. Come up to the rocky crags and the little grassy patches, up in the higher places of the mountain, up towards the top, near the clouds, with the great vista of the Sea of Galilee and the surrounding country below. And there we sit down with Jesus, and He preaches and teaches to us again about the kingdom of God. So let's jump over here to Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verse 1, and then verse 4, the second Beatitude. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, verse 4, second Beatitude, He says, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's what we're going to talk about today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's Jesus talking about? What's He mean? What are we learning here? What is He aiming to teach us today about the kingdom of God? Well, the first thing we learn there, obviously, straight off, like we said last week, is He's declaring to us a blessing. Because He starts with the word blessed. The word in the Greek is makarios, which means blessed, happy, and joyful. Who is blessed and happy and joyful? Blessed, happy, and joyful are those who mourn. Think about that. Those who cry. Those who are deeply moved in sorrow and sad. And He's teaching here about to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs. To whom does it belong? Again, to those who mourn. Say the word mourn with me. That's what we're talking about today, the theme of mourning. But isn't this a very strange saying of Jesus, wouldn't you say? Jesus says here something that seems, at first glance, contradictory. For ultimately, what is He saying? Blessed are those who mourn means, ultimately, happy are you when you are sad. Does that make sense to you? Jesus sits with you in the mountain and says, happy are you when you're sad. Joyful are you when you're sorrowful. Blessed are you when you mourn. That seems contradictory. So maybe we're mistranslating it here. Maybe something was lost over from the Greek to the English. What is the word in the Greek here for mourn? The word is pentheo. Blessed are those who pentheo, those who, it means to mourn, to weep, to lament, to grieve, to bewail, to be sad, to be sorrowful, to experience deep grief as the result of depressing circumstances or conditions of persons, to be sad, to grieve, to weep for, to sorrow, to grieve. So it ain't a mistranslation. It means these very things. Happy, blessed, joyful are you, Jesus says, when you are grieving, when you moan, when you cry, when you are sad. Yes, blessed indeed when you do these things, says the Lord. So how do you respond to this? How do we respond to that? I mean, at first glance, we'd say, this is a hard saying. Happy are you when you're sad? I mean, I don't want to be sad. We're not into getting sad, are we? And we're not into crying, Jesus. We're into laughter. And we don't want to be down. We want to be up. So what's going on here with this? This is a hard saying. I think it's especially hard for us Americans. Wouldn't you say, we Americans always like a happy ending to everything. We're not into sadness, are we? We excommunicate tears, if you will. Remember that old Tony Bennett song? Spread sunshine all over the place and put on a happy face. Annie, the musical, you're never fully dressed without a smile, right? We have songs when you're anxious in our culture. Don't worry, be happy, and things like that. We don't like, as Americans, sadness or tears. We don't like tragic movies that end in disaster. We don't have any, hardly. And funerals, we don't even encourage you to cry at funerals, at least as a culture. You know, people are told, fight back your tears, hide your face, don't let anyone see you cry. And even at some funerals, not ours really, but at some, they'll say, well, you know, old Jeb there passed away, he always liked a good party, so let's not be sad, let's have a big party, we'll laugh, we'll drink alcohol, we'll tell jokes, put on the happy face again. So this is a hard saying from Jesus for especially Americans who banish sadness. Jesus says here that the kingdom of heaven belongs only to those who mourn. Wow. So the next question we have to ask is, what does Jesus mean by this? How then should we be sad? Does he want us to just be sad for sad's sake? Is Jesus just like into sorrow or something? Does he like a downcast spirit, a crestfallen countenance, a glum look, an overcast soul, and a sad heart? Well, you know, some people throughout history have taken it this way. Martin Luther said that in the late 1400s, when he was growing up, he saw a man, Prince William of Anhalt, in Germany. He took this to mean he should just be sad, and that would please God. So he gave up all of his worldly goods and went around as a beggar. Martin Luther said in his writings, he says, with my own eyes I saw him. I was 14 years old at Magdeburg. I saw him carrying a sack like a donkey. He had so worn himself down by fasting and vigil that he looked like a death's head, mere bone and skin. No one could look upon him without feeling ashamed of his own life. Some people take this verse to say, well, I guess I just better be sad. That's what God is after. He wants to be pleased by my sorrow, and so I'll just give up everything. And the idea is Christians should be glum. Sad people, never smile, no joy, no laughter, just moping about downcast like a monk in some dark castle somewhere. But is that what Jesus means here? What'd you say? Blessed are those who mourn. Can't mean that. Must mean more than that, because it doesn't jive with the rest of Scripture. What does the rest of Scripture tell us about God? Gianna, is God a God of sorrow or joy, ultimately? Joy. I mean, God is a God of joy, it says in Scripture, and he is always working, it seems, to lift up our hearts to make them cheerful and joyful. Where do we see this in Scripture, friends? We read that the Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He saves the crushed in spirit. And David says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that I might offer in your tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. What's Jesus say in the New Testament? These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may, he says, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is what God is after, a joyful spirit. And Paul, of course, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So a Christian is to be a joyful Christian, a cheerful person. So this can't possibly mean that we're to be sad all the time about everything. Amen? You with me? What is Jesus then teaching here about blessed are those who mourn, and my kingdom belongs only to those who mourn? Well, I will tell you, here's the answer. Jesus is teaching us here that it is good to mourn, but not about everything, but only certain things. We should be sad, sorrowful, grieving, weeping, bewailing, certain things. What things should we be mourning and sad over? Answer, quite simply, sin and anything that pertains to sin. Any evil that there is in the world, these things should grieve the Christian deeply, and you should be sorrowful over these things. Can I give you some examples? Here's seven very, very briefly. Number one, we should grieve and be sad and sorrowful over our own personal sins. Number one, do you? When you sin and do wrong, does that grieve you and make you cry out, "Oh, what terrible pain I'm in for this wickedness I've done. Oh, God, forgive me." God says that's a good grief. Charlie Brown. There's a good grief, Charlie Brown. You've heard that one, right? There's good grief because this kind of grief over your personal sins will lead you to repentance, which leads to salvation, which ultimately leads to joy. So weep over any personal sin that you might confess it. Secondly, we also weep as Christians over the sin that resides in us still, even though we're saved. Are you saved? Well, Paul says, I'm saved, but wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He still felt in his body, in his members of his flesh. Inside me, he says, there's still this sinful nature, and I hate it. I hate it. Every time I want to do the right thing, there's evil in me wanting to go in the wrong way. I hate that, Lord. That's a good grief. That is good weeping and mourning, Jesus says. It's hatred on sin. Thirdly, how about the sin of others about you? Do you have friends, family members, acquaintances, co-workers, the community about you that is going wayward into wicked ways and unbelief? That should grieve your heart, and you should mourn over these things, because you're sharing the heart of God. He mourns and grieves over these things too. And also the sin in the church. There's a lot of pulpits today that are preaching false and wicked doctrines. They're doing horrific things in visible Christendom. Weep and mourn over these. Fourthly, you have the wickedness of the world in the greater, grander scope of things, the world at large. Man, is this true? You tell me, bear witness. The world we're living in right now is run by a bunch of crazy people. The spirit of Antichrist is driving them to promote the most foul and wicked things in our days, in the high places of our world. You have very prominent now, you hear about this pedophilia and this human trafficking and thefts and murders and adulteries and crime and lawlessness and such things you see in the news. Do you weep over these? Do these grieve your heart? God says, good, they grieve my heart too. That is good grief. Weep over these. That is holy. Fifthly, the effects of sin in the world. The world is broken. Hate to tell you, break it to you, but it's decaying. Okay, the world has fourth stage cancer, if you will. We have extinctions of animals, pollutions, tornadoes, disasters. We can weep over these things. Sixthly, the effects of sin in our lives. Our bodies are breaking down. Do you weep over that? I don't look like I did when I was 20. Oh my goodness, in the mirror, I weep at what I see. Diseases, accidents, injuries, trouble and sorrow of hearts in mine and in people around me, at broken relationships. Do you weep and mourn over the disaster and troubles that there are in the world, of the effects of sin in our lives? Good grief, God says. And seventh and last, we especially weep as Christians because Christ's rule and kingdom is not yet here on the earth, visibly. It is here in that it's in us, but we don't yet see it visibly over everything, setting all things right. Don't you want the world perfectly right and righteous under the rule of the right and true King, Jesus? Well, we weep that this is still a present evil age, that the world at large is corrupt and crooked, and we long for the return of the King. We weep until his kingdom comes. Do you weep over that? These are good griefs, Charlie Brown, you could say. And these are sanctified tears. This is a divine sorrow and a holy sadness. Things that God also feels the pangs and pain of in heaven. Guess what? The kingdom of God only belongs to those who weep and mourn over these. It belongs to the Christians who are sorrowful over the sin and the effects of it in this world and this age. Do you know that only Christians weep and mourn this way? Did you know that? Consider just for a moment the unbelievers, those who don't know God or Jesus. Do they weep and mourn like we do over sin? Take, for example, their own personal sins. They don't weep over those. They like them. Hey, I'm having a great time. I love going after wickedness. God said in Isaiah 22 to his people, "In that day the Lord God of hosts called you, Israel, to weeping and to mourning, to baldness and girding with sackcloth. But behold, I saw joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. And you said, 'Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.'" God called them to repent in tears, and they just had a big party. And God said, "Surely then, this iniquity will not be forgiven you till you die, says the Lord God of hosts." It's not good to rejoice and laugh when you're in sin. Secondly, do they weep over the sin that's residing in them in their own nature? They say, "No, I actually have a good nature." God says, "No, you have a harlot's brow. You do wrong. You eat sin. You wipe your mouth and you go on your way saying, 'I've done no wrong.'" That's wicked to laugh when you have sin in you. And the sin of others. Do unbelievers hate the sin of the people around them? No, they say, "Great, we'll join with you in a wild, wicked ways. Let's go to it." As Paul says, though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. Yeah, let's go after sin. That is wicked, to laugh in such things. And then the wickedness of the world and the high places of the culture, the injustice of our times, they don't weep like you do over our country and over our world and over the Antichrist agenda. No, they hang pride flags outside of their homes and approve of the ways of the world. And the effects of sin in nature, well, they don't like tornadoes and disasters, but they don't weep out of faith for such things. The effects of sin in people's lives, well, they don't like heartache and pain either, but they're not sad over the sin. That's the big thing. That's the big point. And do they weep and mourn that Jesus' kingdom is not yet here? No. They say, "Jesus, his kingdom, we don't want that man to rule over us. Posh on that. Pass us another drink." And so they are going to have a great judgment on them for rejoicing over sin. God's word is this. Jesus says in Luke 6, "Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. And woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." That is, when I come in my kingdom and all my power, with all my angels, with all my saints to bring my kingdom to the world, you who rejoiced in sin, oh, that'll be a different day for you. It'll turn your tears of joy into tears of sorrow and eternal. So repent. So it's good to mourn. Amen. It's good to weep. There is good grief. Charlie Brown. Do you weep and mourn over all these things, sin and the evils of the world? Yes. And it grieves us much. I know so many of you have talked with, it weighs heavy upon your hearts, the evil and injustice of our times and the evil and injustice in you. But here's the good word. Jesus says to you on this mountain, he says, "Sit down with me and hear this. I look to those who are weeping and mourning today. My kingdom belongs to those who weep and mourn today. And guess what? Here's the really good news. I have a promise for you. Blessed are you when you mourn and weep, for you shall be comforted." Isn't that a great word from our Savior? Let's take a look at that. How does he comfort us? You shall be comforted. What is that tense? Future. How future do we have to wait for comfort? Well, when it comes, first of all, to your own sins, when you do something wrong and you repent over it, how long does it take for comfort to come from God? He rushes to you to fill that void, to forgive your sins, to save you, and to bring you to joy. Let's take a look at the story. Remember, Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, and a woman, a great sinner, she came in and wept on his feet for her tears. She was crying, mourning, pain over her sins. She repented, and she wiped her tears off his feet with her own hair. How long did it take for her to be comforted? Jesus turns to her and says to the woman, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." How fast did it take, John, for comfort to come when she repented of her sins. Bam! Fast! God rushes to forgive you and return to you joy for your sorrow. But the sorrow has to come first over sins. Repent, then comes the joy. You're saved. I forgive you. We are friends again. Let's go out and have a great life together, says God. So you've got to have sorrow first. But he comes quickly. But other comforts for our weepings of this age, they take longer to come. But they're coming, but they take longer. The sin inside of us, for example. Number two, Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I want to do the right thing, and I keep doing the wrong thing. I feel evil inside of me, Lord. Oh, I weep over that. When is that going to be removed from us? At Jesus' coming, we'll finally get rid of that. It's promised in Isaiah, God's people shall all be righteous, and they shall possess the land forever, the shoot of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. You're going to have to bear this one for a while, but Jesus says, you will be comforted. When I come, gone will be that old nature, and you'll only have mine, perfect and pure forever. You shall be comforted. Rejoice. Thirdly, consider the sins of our friends and members of family and neighbors, co-workers and such, in their wayward unbeliefs and ways. We cry over that. Don't you have loved ones who don't know the Lord? Aren't you crying over that? Well, cry to God for these people. Pray for them. Witness to them. It may be that God will then save them, and this word will be fulfilled in you. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Jesus is coming. Those who went forth with weeping, bearing seed for the sowing, you're going to come home with shouts of joy, bringing your sheaves with you. Can you imagine yourself there on that day with your loved ones for whom you cried, and you see their faces standing on those golden shores and saying, I'm here, I made it alive through your tears. And so also God will turn your sorrows there into comfort. You will be comforted. How about the sins of the church? You know, so much wickedness in our days, as there was in the days of the Old Testament. But God, when he was going to wipe out Jerusalem by a band of destroying angels and the army of Babylon, he said to the angel, first, go through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in this city. And when God marked them ahead of time, what was he doing? Sparing them from the judgment. Because you weep, I shall make you laugh in the end, because you're going to be saved. Same too for us today, when we weep over our country and the church. And as for the sin in the greater world, when we look out and we see injustice at every turn, wickedness and villainy, God says, but, I will comfort you. For the needy are not always going to be forgotten. The hope of the poor shall not perish forever. For justice will roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Oh boy, I'm coming. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their iniquity. I'll put an end to the pride of the arrogant, lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless, and justice shall prevail over all the earth when I come. You will be comforted and delight in justice. As for the falling apart of nature, I'm going to make everything new. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will then make a new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. They're not going to hurt or harm in all my holy mountain anymore. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Be comforted. You will be comforted in that. And as for your bodies breaking down, looking in the mirror saying, oy vey, what's going on? I'm dying. Well, God says, but, you're sown right now in weakness, but I'm going to raise you in power. And I'm going to dwell with you. And I'm going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'm going to put that away forever. And there's going to be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For all these former things, they pass away. And I will sit upon my throne and say, look, behold, I make all things new. And you'll be raised and glorious in joy forever. You will be comforted. And as for Christ's kingdom, all things will be set right on that day. For Jesus our Lord, remember, was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he was greatly troubled about that cross. But he went there for you and me to save us, for the joy that was set before him on the other side. And also he saved us there, and he's leading us now through our own sorrows, to the joy that's beyond our own cross, to the worlds to come. For we read in Scripture, "There shall no more be anything accursed, says God, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in that kingdom, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see my face. My name I will write upon their foreheads. There's going to be no more night, for the Lord God will be your light, and you with me shall reign forever." So Psalm 30 says, weeping, yeah, weeping may tarry for the night, but friends, joy comes in the morning. And so in conclusion then today, good grief, Charlie Brown. There is good grief. To weep and mourn right now over sin and evil and its effects of our time, God says, good, so do I. But I'm not going to leave you there without hope. The good news is Jesus promises us here today, you who weep and mourn now, you do, but not for long. Soon I shall come, and my children, my people, all shall be well. All shall be well when I come again. My kingdom belongs to those who mourn, and so does this promise. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are Those Who Mourn? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.